We're glad you're here today. We've had a panel change. To my right is Judge Bob McCoy. To my left is Judge Lee Gabriel. I'm Sue Walker, and we are your panel for your case submitted this afternoon. We will hear this case, and then we will take a brief recess, and we have two cases set on our 3 o'clock docket. If the clerk will please call this case.
The court will now call K-House Fund LP versus Jessica Fund, Grapevine Incorporated, John Lindley and Laura Lindley. May it please the court, Mr. Jeffrey Irion will argue for the appellant. Mr. Joshua H. Norton will argue for the appellee.
May it please the court, my name is Jeff Irion. I am representing Tejas Fund Limited in this particular proceeding. Tejas Fund was an entity, legal entity, that was filed and created, I believe, in November of the year 2004. What that entity did was own boats and then leased them out to other entities who paid a lease fee. In this particular instance, Tejas Fund Limited was funded by two individuals, Mr. Pete Clark, who ended up owning 13% in exchange for his delivering ownership of two 47-foot boats. That may not be exactly correct, but that's an instance. They were party barges or platforms which could be rented and taken out and used on Lake Grapevine on this particular instance. The other partner was a contributor of a houseboat that had a value of right around, $200,000. That houseboat title was transferred to Tejas Fund Limited, and its title is not before the court in this particular instance. There's no question that that is owned by Tejas Fund. The question that has arisen is who owns the other two vessels. Now, when Mr. Pete Clark came in to buy his interest in Tejas Fund and receive his 13% ownership, it was understood that he was contributing these two 47-foot barges.
But counsel, for purposes of the temporary injunction, you said that the issue is who owns these houseboats. So it wasn't it correct of the trial court to grant a temporary injunction just maintaining the status quo until that issue could be litigated on the merits?
Well, that's the trouble. She messed up on the status quo. My clients had these vessels at their marina, Silver Lake Marina on Lake Grapevine. They had them once since the parties terminated their relationship on September 1. They were berthed there, and they had always been operated out of that Silver Lake Marina. So
had possession, but title was in the appellees, correct?
The title had still been registered with the state of Texas, the Texas Department of Wildlife, in Just for Fun, Inc. It had. And that's why we brought our lawsuit in December of that year. We brought that issue and put it before the court, and we were pursuing discovery when all of a sudden we were hit with this temporary restraining order. We had no notice, no advance discussion at any point in time. All of a sudden we're sitting there as the plaintiffs pursuing discovery, and we get hit with a temporary restraining order that we just had no notice of at all, and it violated all the local rules and the other rules regarding temporary restraining orders and temporary injunctions. So we immediately contested that and asked the court to expedite a hearing date. Now, the court would only give us 1 hour on like three different days. We had to make three trips up to Denton to argue this point. We were entitled, my understanding, under the rules, to an expedited trial that was take precedence over almost anything else other than another temporary injunction hearing. But so far as maintaining the status quo was that the barges were in our possession being cared for like they always had. It wasn't a matter of them moving them.
They were in your possession because you went and took them after you filed the lawsuit?
No, ma'am. We didn't go after and take them. They were docked at our marina. That's where they had always been operated since 2004, when all this was created. So we had the vessels. They were in our possession at our dock. And so the status quo was that. We had ceased doing business with these people. We had the original dinner lease that was entered into in May of 2004 between Tejas Fun Limited and Just for Fun Grapevine Inc. And in that document, it says that ownership of these vessels is in Tejas Fun. And it says that they will do what's necessary to transfer title to Tejas Fun. And it says that in several places in the primary or principal dinner lease agreement. Then you have situations where they re-upped. And they I don't think we worried about the other ones until the year 2008. And after 2008, they signed another full multi-page contract. And then for 2009, 2010, 2011, it was a one-page renewal. And all of this is attached to our brief. But at all times, these boats were at our marina in our possession. And under all the various statements that were in the dinner leases themselves, it all acknowledged that we own these vessels. And even Mr. Lemley states that up until like September of 2011, he thought title was in Tejas Fund because that's where it was supposed to have been. So status quo was where they were. They were at the marina where they had always been on Grapevine Lake. Now what the injunction did was to allow them to take those vessels, dismantle them, move them to Lake Louisville, approximately 30 miles away, and then put them into service up in Louisville. And in so doing, we had two, in essence, injunctions in effect. We had the first injunction that the judge granted, and in that one, after the judge granted it, I had a question. I didn't understand what was her real order. I asked her, I said, do you mean that they can take these boats and move them to another lake? And she indicated, yes, that's what I intend to, that's the intent of my ruling. So there was a handwritten notation in their proposed injunction. I had asked for clarification. I said, yes, that clarifies it, but I did not agree to those terms. And that's an allegation. Simply, I wanted to understand what my clients were being charged with. I don't want my clients to be in violation of any judge's order. But I wasn't certain of what she was doing in that particular case. So that was done, and my clients, of course, we did not like the ruling, but that was the ruling, and we would proceed with an appeal. An appeal was filed. Then subsequently, let me step back. On that order, where she hand wrote this other information, none of that was in any of the pleadings. And we do submit that because there were no pleadings to support that phrase, that injunction was void because of that particular point. But in any event, just to explain how things were going, then all of a sudden, I guess they make arrangements to move the boats, and they take it to one of our marinas or remove it. And we're saying, you know, the marina is a separate legal entity. It's not a part of these negotiations. It's not a part of the lawsuit. It has never been named as a party to the lawsuit. It maintains its own individual status as a legal entity in the state of Texas. The judge of the 16th basically entered an order that says, you know, I don't care who owns it. You've got to let them move, or you've got to give them access to your marina and access to your boat ramp without any compensation, and we don't care who owns it, okay? What is my client going to do? He's going to obey the ruling. We will appeal. So there was a second appeal. There was no pleading supporting this second injunction. And I know that there's a question, was the second order truly a temporary injunction? In my submission and in my case law, I'll say that it was. It's like the proverbial a rose by any other name is still a rose. They called it some other type of order, but it involved the same parties. It ordered them to do certain things. It restrained them from utilizing their own personal rights, and it should be treated as if it was a second injunction. And we submit that both of these violated the court's authority, that there was insufficient, there was an abuse of discretion in granting both the temporary injunction on May 18th and on the order for Just for Fun Grapevine's motion for emergency relief granted on May 24th. There were no pleadings for this second one. The judge called, left a message, and gave me basically about 20 minutes to call back. And then she ruled on the basis of testimony she heard by opposing counsel.
What did your clients do allegedly that stopped them from getting the boats after the first injunction?
Nothing. They went over and removed the boat. We didn't. Once they had.
Apparently, there was something happened that required the emergency relief.
No, ma'am. What happened? They went and we were charged with giving them access to the boat. We gave them access to the boat. Now, there are approximately six boat ramps on Lake Grapevine, right? Three of those are controlled by entities that are interrelated, but they are not the same entity. And there are three other ramps that are owned or operated by cities and governmental agencies. We gave them the two boats. They then sought to make use of our boat ramp, and we said, no, go to some other one. And that's all we said. And that's basically the only thing that was stated on opposing counsel, stating that they had a conference with me. They said, we want to use the boat. And I said, the ramp at Silver Lake Marina, I said, no, there's no order ordering us to let you use the ramp at Silver Lake Marina. You'll have to take it someplace else. My clients were irritated. But
did
it's
you
still,
weld the boats to the dock?
Did we weld the boats to the dock? No, not that I'm aware of.
Well, that's what it says in the brief. I'm not making that up.
In my brief?
In their brief.
Well, I don't believe so. Now, that's never been a pointed issue. I have. I've served as the legal advisor to the Marine Association of Texas, and there are situations where we have welded angle iron in the back of a slip so that persons cannot remove their boat, but only if there's a contract that gives us a contractual lien, and we've worked this out with Texas Parks and Wildlife. If we can avoid touching a boat, then we prefer to seal them and or secure them in that manner. But in this particular instance, I'm not aware of there being any type of welding of the boat to the premises. If it happened, it would have been released on the receipt of the order of the judge, because they had the boats. That's why they were out there complaining, is because they wanted access to our marinas and access to our boat ramps. And there's a question there about the weight of these vessels and how much damage they're going to do. What are they going to be charged? Because this is not a free service to use these ramps, at least not the ones in which my client holds the leases. This is a business. So I'm not aware of any welding of the boat to the dock, but if it did occur, it would have been released immediately upon the judge's order. And there has been no complaint or no allegation of contempt or wrongful taking this before this court. So if there's a question on that line, I can only say that I see and have no evidence of that. However, in order to keep something from being removed, that's not an unlikely process, because people do come and they'll grind off that angle iron, or they'll take a cutting torch and actually physically cut the cutting torch, or if it's chained through the bow of the boat, they'll cut the chain. So to preserve that, that could have happened, but that was still, it would have been secured in the exact same place that the boats were operated out of when there was a business relationship between the two entities. But so far as taking advantage of anything like that, they had all the contracts that said they owned the boats. Nobody realized that the titles hadn't been transferred until after they ceased doing business together. Everybody had been paid in accordance with the leases. I mean, if there was no boat, then Mr. Clark wouldn't have owned his 13%. And what happened is that the Grapevine Inc., just for fun, Grapevine Inc., they got behind, and in the year 2008, they asked, or there was a situation where Mr. Peter Clark wanted to dissolve himself from these entities. And what Mr. Clark did is come to Mr. Funk, who was the representative for the other entity, and said, I'd like to sell my 13% back. So Mr. Funk said, okay, I'll give you the $80,000 that you gave me originally. So that was agreed. Mr. Clark wouldn't have got that $80,000 if he wasn't believing that these two boats were owned by Tejas. So Mr. Pete Clark's ownership in Tejas Fund Limited was sold to Mr. Funk, and if not to him, but another entity. But at that point in time, just for fun, took that $80,000 and they owed Tejas Fund approximately $70,000 of that, and they paid that to satisfy the debt that was owed. And the other approximately 15% went to the Silver Lake Ship Store to pay a balance due by Just for Fun to that ship store. And all of this is shown in Exhibits 1 through 9 of our brief. And it shows that when Mr. Clark...
Counsel, your time has expired.
I'm sorry. Well, wait, Your Honor.
May it please the court. Justice Walker, Justice Gabriel, and Justice McCoy, I think what you've heard from Mr. Erian here today is the crux of their complaint with what Judge Worley did in the 16th District Court, which is they didn't like the outcome of a ruling on the injunction. As the court well knows, and I don't have to educate you, obviously, on the standard for review on a temporary injunction, it is an abuse of discretion. And whether or not Judge Worley acted without disregard of the law or acted in misapplying the facts to the law in the proceeding that we had before her on these dinner boats. If it pleased the court, I'll spend some time to clarify some of the issues, really, Justice Gabriel, going to your question at first about the boats being welded. The central issue in this case is who owns the boats. It's two dinner boats. They're big flat barges that they can take, you know, 30, 40, 50 people out on the lake for gatherings and outings. It is undisputed in the record, if you look at volume 2 of the record, beginning in pages 30 and going all the way through the end of that record, that establishes the facts of who owned the boats. It's undisputed, and specifically, if you look, Your Honor, if you look at volume 2 at page 40 specifically, and even more specifically than that, defendants exhibits 1 and 2 in the trial court, they're the titles to the boats that are in Just for Fun Grapevine's name. And it's undisputed in the record as well, Your Honors, that that's never changed. So if we're looking at an abuse of discretion, the facts are these. Our clients had a lease for a slip, a dock, at Silver Lake Marina on Lake Grapevine. The testimony is undisputed again if you look at record volume 2 at page 44, that from 2004 until 2011, Just for Fun Grapevine had possession and control over that property, subject to leases and some prior leases that had expired. And they had control and possession of those boats, Your Honors, until the appellants in this case came and welded the two boats to the dock. That is exactly what happened.
So that's what you meant, because I got confused. From reading the briefs, it sounded to me like you had possession of the boats, and then you're saying that they unpeaceably took possession of the boats, and that you went back to revert the status quo back to the last peaceable possession, and that's what the injunction was all about. Isn't that what you're saying in your brief?
Yes. The last peaceable possession of the boats, Your Honor, was we had them. We had possession and control of those boats under a lease. It happened to be in one of appellant's docks, but we had the boats, possession and control of the boats. And we had the possession and control of those boats, looking again at Volume 2, in the record, pages 40 through 44 sort of sets out those facts. We had them until the appellants came along, filed a lawsuit against us, and then welded them to the dock. So after that, we came along to the trial court. We asked for a temporary restraining order and subsequently an injunction that the judge granted, saying the last peaceable use of this property was that my guys had the boats. The whole issue of ownership is what's at dispute, or what's in dispute in the underlying case. The status quo, the last peaceable non-contested use of those boats, was that we had them and we had possession of them under the lease.
And you operated them.
And we operated them. Just for Fun Grapevine, who is the appellee in this case, operated those boats from 2004 until 2011 when they were welded to the dock. And we lost the right of possession and control over the boats.
And then you also have title and have maintained title, and whether that's correct or not is the subject of the underlying litigation.
That's correct. Justice Walker, like I said, if you look at Volume 2, page 40, the boats are titled in our name, and they have always been titled in our name being Just for Fun Grapevine. That's proven and was proven to Judge Worley in the district court with our exhibits number 1 and 2. So defendants number 1 and 2 from the Texas Department of Parks and Wildlife title the boats in Just for Fun Grapevine's name, and that has never changed. No one, although they allege that they have ownership of these boats and they should have had ownership of these boats, it's never changed. The only evidence before Judge Worley was that we are the owners of those boats and always have been. And that again gets us to the violation of the status quo, which is the last peaceable, non-contested use. And this court has ruled on it, the Bunaro case out of the Supreme Court in 2002, assuming I'm saying that correctly, has ruled on it, saying that a subsequent act giving rise to a lawsuit can't create the status quo. The status quo is the last peaceable use of what was going on before a lawsuit, a cause of action, was filed. They brought a lawsuit and then went and welded the boats to the dock. And Judge Worley, I submit to this court, rightfully ruled that we should have possession and control of those boats because we were the ones in the last peaceable, uncontested use of them. And that's exactly how she ruled on her injunction. If we talk for a moment about what happened with the temporary restraining order hearing, Judge Worley actually gave us 3 days of hearing. She gave us an hour on May 10th, an hour on May 14th, and an hour, or actually it was a little more than 2.5 hours on May the 18th. The issue raised by the appellant in this case is whether or not she abused her discretion. So I don't really know that it's a relevant issue to the court, but if you look at the record, you'll see that the appellants were given the opportunity to be heard. And Judge Worley actually took several witnesses to that end, including Mr. John Limley, who is one of the principals in Just for Fun Grapevine. Presumably, the judge, in deciding to enter the injunction, looked at whether or not, under the Butinaro standard, we had a cause of action, a probable right of recovery, and whether or not there was irreparable harm. And I submit to the court that, based on the uncontested evidence before her, the only conclusion she could reach was that we have a cause of action. We've obviously pled causes of action for breach, tortious interference, and a number of other things. So clearly we had a cause of action based on these leases and the dispute over ownership. A probable right of recovery, we're the title owners. That alone is some evidence that we are the rightful owners of those boats in the underlying dispute. She also heard evidence, and you heard Mr. Irion talk about it just a bit, about who actually pledged the boats to begin with. If you look at the testimony of Mr. John Limley throughout Volume 2, there's not a specific site I can give you because it's spread throughout those pages, Your Honors. He talks about how the fact that Pete Clark, who is an individual, pledged these boats. Now, I think what they want to say is that Just for Fun Grapevine pledged those boats, but there was no evidence of that before Judge Worley, and they can't point to any in the record because the evidence didn't come. So a probable right of recovery, I think the answer to that, and Judge Worley looked at the evidence before her, applying it to the law, and said, yeah, we probably do have a probable right of recovery. Probably most importantly, or probably most at dispute, is whether or not there was irreparable harm. Throughout the 3 days of hearing, Your Honors, there was much testimony on whether or not there was irreparable harm that resulted from the appellants taking possession and control of these boats. If you look at the record again, Volume 2, beginning at pages 44, Mr. Lemley was on the stand and he testified about the irreparable harm, damage to the company's reputation. They testified that they had been in the lease and rental business on the lake since 1999. He testified that there were lost business opportunities that there would be no way for them to account for, because without the boats, they didn't have people calling trying to lease boats. That testimony is in the record for Judge Worley to rely on as well. And finally, he testified that there was an exposure to liability. These guys came and took his boats and attempted to seize them and exercise possession and control over them. They presumably, based on some of the testimony at the three hearings, were going to go out and start leasing those boats in our name, with our name on the titles. Mr. Lemley testified that could expose Just for Fun Grapevine to liability and potential damages if somebody got hurt on the boats, if they got out drunk and fell off in the water, that there would be no way they could have any control over. This very court and the Texas Supreme Court has ruled that those sorts of damages are actionable damages irreparable harm that can form the basis of a temporary injunction. One such case is Intercontinental Terminals that came down September of last year out of the First District in Houston. That site's 354 Southwest 3rd, 887. It talks about specifically some damage to business damage or harm that can come that cannot be measured by money damages alone. This very court has ruled in Lifeguard Benefit Services in 2010 at 308 Southwest 3rd 102 that those sorts of damages are redressable by a temporary injunction. The only thing that the appellants have pled for, Your Honors, is relief because Judge Worley abused her discretion. And a review of the record, a review of the facts in this case, show without a doubt that she had sufficient evidence to support the injunction. It shows without a doubt that we had an underlying cause of action to support her order. It shows without a doubt that we had a probable right of recovery. And to be clear, as Your Honors well know, she doesn't have to be right about that ultimately. But an injunction hearing is not a trial on the merits. It's just that. It's to maintain the status quo until we get to a final hearing. The appellants, I think, wanted to get a ruling out of Judge Worley that they were the rightful owners at an injunction hearing. And I submit to this court that that's just not the purpose of the injunction hearing. And certainly, the irreparable harm, as evidenced in pages 40 through 44 of the reporter's record in Volume 2, lays out the irreparable harm that my client would suffer. I want to talk to the court for just a moment, and I won't use up too much of your time, about the subsequent order. It is the appellee's opinion that the subsequent order that Judge Worley entered on May the 24th was merely an enforcement order. And as this court well knows, Judge Worley has the authority, any district court has the authority inherent in being a district court to enforce its own orders. What happened in that particular case is she gave us possession of the boats. We went to get the boats. We got them out of the water. They're probably 42 feet long and close to 30 feet wide. They're giant barges. They have to be loaded with special equipment and put on public roadways. The Lake Louisville Bridge along 35, because of the Corps of Engineers and the Texas Department of Transportation, will not allow you to move those barges across the bridge. You don't have this in the record other than the testimony of Mr. Chenault, who is my colleague, Gillen Chenault, who appeared at that hearing before the judge. So as a result, we had to go use, surprise, surprise, a marina and a ramp that was owned by the appellants. And that's what gave rise to that order. We went to Judge Worley and said, you've entered an order that by Mr. Arian's agreement said you can't interfere with any relationships except for our ability to move the boats. If you look at the record, that's language that he even agreed to. And stated on the record that he thought that was clear enough, the judge's ruling on that. But when we got to Lake Grapevine, because we couldn't use Silver Lake Marina anymore because they had locked us out, when we got to Lake Louisville, the only ramp we had available to us was yet again one controlled by the appellants. They wouldn't. They actually parked a van across the driveway of the ramp to stop us from using it. So we did go to Judge Worley, and we asked Judge Worley to please enter an order enforcing your temporary injunction, allowing us. I mean, we had these giant barges on you know, equipment designed especially to move them that we were paying for by the hour. And we asked her to enter an order enforcing her injunction order, and she did just that. I submit to the court that it wasn't a change in the rights or obligations of any party as portrayed in her original injunction order. It was merely her expression of her inherent right to enforce her own order. Without any questions, I'll cede back my time. Thank you.
Varian, rebuttal.
Again, may it please the court. Equitable title is the present right to legal title. Equitable title is shown in the multiple documents that were signed by these parties, first by Pete Clark as in his representative capacity, and then by John Limley in his capacity. Looking at the boat, the dinner boat lease, it says, lessor leases to lessee and lessee rents from lessor the boats and related equipment, that an indication of ownership. It then states on page 3 under paragraph 5, ownership and use. Title to the dinner boats shall remain with the lessor at all times. The lessor is Tejas Fund Limited. Okay, and remain the sole and exclusive personal property of the lessor. Lessee shall have no right, title, or other interest therein except the right to use the dinner boats in the normal operation of the party and dinner boat rental business at the location, and the location being Silver Lake Marina. On page 6, under 13, it says, upon termination of this lease, or upon any event of default by lessee and its obligation, lessee being just for fun, shall at its expense deliver the dinner boats to Lake Grapevine. Well, the relationship ended by its own terms, and my client had the boats at its slip in Grapevine, so all of this had occurred. This I'm reading from is the 2008 agreement signed by Mr. Limley. But again, as I've stated, there are renewal contracts in here. In order to have an injunction, you must have irreparable harm or the absence of an adequate remedy at law. All of their allegations state that they're seeking money damages. If you look at their pleadings for each cause of action, they say, we will plead for money damages at the time of trial, or words to that effect. All right. Obviously, then, there is an adequate remedy at law, the adequate remedy being a payment or compensation in the form of cash money. They make multiple allegations, and in every one, there's this particular phrase that they use. So, one, the second order was unsupported by any pleadings of any type, and therefore void. And the first injunction added language that shouldn't have been in there, and there was no real additional evidence that justified her denying us our equitable title to these boats. I mean, everything that is signed was put up and admitted to be signed, and Mr. Lemley says, I thought they were there. So all we were asking and all we filed in our original pleading and petition was, give us our titles back. And we were in the process of discovery doing that. And we weren't given any type of notice. But even when we were given time to have the hearing, we proved up all these elements. We proved that Mr. Pete Clark's 13% was sold for that $80,000. Now, if he didn't own those boats and we don't have that, then we need that $80,000 back that they used to pay my clients their delinquent debt. So all my clients were doing is, okay, we've ended this. You are required to deliver the boats to us. We now have them in our possession.
And we start going to look at things, and we found out, oh my gosh, somebody dropped the ball. They didn't change the title. But there's nothing in these agreements that says otherwise. They all say title is in my client, and that they're obligated to recognize that and do what is necessary to assure title goes into my client. Any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, counsel. Your case is submitted. We appreciate you coming and arguing before us today. We will take a brief recess, and then we will proceed with our 3 o'clock docket.